This is Sharing Space. The primary goal of this show is to start the conversation that ends mental health discrimination. To help reach this goal, each time we'll sit down with a different guest that will share their story with mental health. Be it their personal story, their story of advocacy, or working in the field of mental health. Sharing Space is a safe place where people can share their stories without judgment. To get involved and help start the conversation, all you need to do is sit back and listen to the stories. Each one, find something interesting, memorable, or relatable. Then take that information and use it to start a conversation outside the walls of Sharing Space. This week, we sit down with PTSD, or post-traumatic stress disorder, advocate, Ryan Weldon. Ryan's walked 5,000 miles across America to raise PTSD awareness, but I'll let him tell you all about it. I'm Allison Blaze, and this is Sharing Space on burst.co.uk.
First of all, I'll give my information. So Ryan Weldon, and I am a United States Marine veteran, and I'm currently walking across the United States to raise awareness for PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, due to the alarming number of veterans that take their own life every single day, and to the number of society that doesn't know this is happening and doesn't know how serious not just mental disorders are, but that, you know, specific mental disorder such as PTSD is. Again, I started this trek Valentine's Day 2015, departing from Dover, Delaware, and walking to San Francisco, California, which I am about 350 miles away from.
Very exciting. And
yes,
you kind of described it, but what led you to decide to do this?
Well, it was a combination of things. It began really with a dream. I had a very unique dream the Christmas of 2014. And when I woke up Christmas morning very early, not already knowing what I was getting for Christmas, no reason to be up that early, with any of the Christmas Day jitters. But I was up at 5:30 and all I could think about doing was walking across the country. And at first, I thought I was going crazy. You think of this and it kind of consumes you and you're like, why am I thinking of this? Where did it come from? Well, about 2 or 3, 4 days later, I can't really pinpoint the day, it was almost to New Year's, an article, being a Marine veteran and a veteran at all, I get a lot of VA news and Veteran Affairs news, and we call it in the Marine Corps, we call it scuttlebutt, which is a term for news coming down through the wire. And that's when I read the article for the first time about 22 veterans a day and one active duty service member every single day take their own life due to PTSD. And it enraged me. It made me mad. I couldn't understand why this was happening and why the number was so large. I knew we were struggling, but I didn't think that the number was that big, that many people were taking their own life every day. So when I finally calmed down and realized, you know, this has got to be why I've got this urge. 7 weeks from that point, I sold everything I own and hit the road and have been on the road ever since. And it's mainly just to let people know, like, you know, hey, this is a serious condition. This is what it's affecting. But here's the kicker. I guarantee you know someone in your family that may be suffering from it, because it not just is specific to, you know, military, firefighters, EMS, EMT, first responders, our police officers, and even civilians, suffer from PTSD. It was mainly getting the awareness out to society so that they know how serious it is. And so to kind of inspire others to say, hey, you got a voice. Don't think that just because you're nobody from nowhere, middle America or anywhere in the world for that matter, that you don't have a voice. You have a voice and you need to use it. And don't let anyone tell you can't use it, because they're just holding you back from doing what they don't want to do or can't do. So,
yeah, that's incredible. Making that choice, taking that stand, I guess. Not many people would do that. So it's great that you were so passionate to just kind of be like, you know what, I'm going for it.
Yes.
And I know you did mention that anyone, it happens to anyone, obviously, soldiers and people that are in high risk jobs are more likely to suffer from it just because it's post-traumatic stress disorder. They're more likely to have a trauma where that happens. But there was someone else that we did an interview with on the show who witnessed something, and now she's been diagnosed with PTSD. So something like that for her, you know, I think it's nice that just for someone like her to get that kind of recognition that this is real and that it can affect you. It can affect you greatly. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it doesn't just affect the individual who is suffering. It affects everyone in that social circle of that individual. You know, whether it be a spouse, a family member, a coworker, or a best friend. You know, best friend's going to say, hey, you know, I noticed you're down. What's going on? Talk to me. You're not telling me anything. You know, that person that's going through the trauma or has gone through the trauma may not want to bring that person into their world because they're afraid of what they might see in them or what they might hear or afraid of the judgment. A lot of PTSD sufferers, they're afraid to share because they're afraid of the judgmental eye that they'll get from the one that they're talking to. So that's a big fear for a lot of people, especially those that are not military. So like your friend or the person that you interviewed, you know, being a civilian, just happening to witnessing a traumatic event, and now they're scarred. They are scarred for life, and it's a matter of not necessarily you know, coping, I guess, so much of what happened. It's learning how to live with, okay, now I've got this as a part of my life. How can I work around it so I don't let it control the way I live?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly how she described it. She said, you know, at the beginning, it consumes you. And she just has to make the choice every day to get up and go on with her life. It's not that it's not still there. She doesn't still think about it. I think that's the part that we forget, especially because someone in her situation, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, if that happened to me, I don't know what I would do. But I think sometimes when you think of people who have gone into the military or who go into the police force or something like that, you think kind of like, oh, well, that's what they signed up for. Or maybe you just don't realize that they're not going to carry that with them for the rest of their life. I feel like when it's that case, it kind of gets looked at that way. Have you come across that at all?
A little bit. I mean, you know, when you hear, like when I get the question, what is PTSD? You know, and I say, well, post-traumatic stress disorder. And as soon as I say that out loud, people go, oh yeah, like military, right? You know, they automatically associate it with just the military. Now, granted, as a service member, as a man myself who is a Marine and served my country and took an oath to protect this country, you know, yeah, we knew kind of the risks, but nothing can ever prepare you for what you're going to see. When you sign that dotted line, what you're saying is you're willing to die for your country. You're willing to put your life on the line. So that's really the only thing that us service members think about. We don't really witness or think about the things that we're going to see, the things that we'll never be able to forget, the friends that we'll end up losing right next to us or, you know, right in front of us. You know, those are the things that are hard to swallow, so to speak. It's, you know, knowing that you could die at any moment is kind of something that you sign up for. But to go back to the civilian side of it, you know, it's a different aspect because they're overlooked. PTSD is typically only associated with military. So the civilian people that suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, are kind of shoved off to the side because they're like, oh, well, you know, yay. Get over it or deal with it, you know, and that's something that most people, nobody ever wants to hear, no matter if you suffer from PTSD or not. You never want to hear, suck it up and deal with it, you know, because that's not really what you're you're trying to suck it up and deal with it, but you can't. You know, things happen, or life just gets in the way. So it's a matter of learning how to cope with those things that have happened, learning how to cope with all of the stresses that you have, and know what your trigger points are and know how to overcome those. You know, support system, that is the number one key to post-traumatic stress disorder, is having a good support system. Good social network of people, a small group of individuals that you can communicate with and be open and honest with, and that they'll be open and honest with you, and it's not demeaning in any way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you mean. It's kind of been a common, like, recurring theme, if you will, for anyone that suffered from anything that I've had the, you know, opportunity to interview. They've all said the support system was key to being able to make those steps to help them out. So I personally, you know, I've found that myself with things that I've dealt with. If I had the support of my family or my friends, I was more likely to do it. But it was really challenging to make some of those calls if they right. weren't there. So I think that's just kind of important to know as a person. Because like you said, you most likely know someone who's going through something.
Everybody knows someone with a mental disorder, whether it's depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, or PTSD. Everyone knows someone. You know, so for us to put the stigma or the social stigma on it is wrong of us. And I think really that is the barrier. That's the only barrier, really, that is holding mental disorders back from being talked about openly in the public, is people are afraid to say, hey, yes, I have depression, or yes, I have PTSD, or yes, I have anxiety, because they're afraid of the way that they're going to be judged and looked at that point.
Yeah.
So, especially with employment.
Yeah. You just hit the nail on the head of what the show is all about. So you've got it. I know that in this, you've been able to, spread the word. It's been amazing. And you've been able to meet different charities that are dedicated to PTSD and veterans along the way. In meeting those people with those organizations, are there things that maybe you learned that have kind of then inspired you to keep going?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, we did an event in Houston, Texas, when I was walking through the area, and we had a whole bunch of nonprofit veteran organizations come out. And, you know, because I knew that we were going to have a large veteran community come out to meet me, so I wanted to give those guys the opportunity to connect with an organization that may help them in any way, depending on where they're at in their life or what's going on. So, you know, meeting nonprofits that deal with, like, service dogs. I've seen service dogs do amazing things on this journey for their owners. You know, just a quick story. There was a guy, I was in West Virginia, and we were talking, and somebody in the room did something and made a loud noise, and I could see he was about to lose it. And he had a German Shepherd service dog. Well, this dog instantly knew what was going on, jumped up on its hind legs, grabbed its owner by the face with its front paws, and licked his chin until he calmed down. And it took literally 10 seconds before that happened. And I watched him go from about to freak out, black out, and who knows what could have happened, to completely calm down instantly because of a service dog. You know, so the service dogs and then other organizations, they have helped kind of see the bigger picture, to know that yes, there are different avenues of PTSD, there's different levels and severities of the disorder, you know, and meeting those different nonprofits and organizations that have helped so many different veterans and non-veterans alike has really been amazing for me, to see that, to know that, okay, yes, there are other people like myself out there trying to make a difference. We're trying to do something, whether it be correct the problem, find a solution. You know, we're not just pointing out the issue. Anybody can do that. But it takes a person, a bigger person, to point out the problem and go, okay, what can I do to help fix this problem? What can I do in my life right now to help someone else get through their problem in their life, whether they're dealing with a mental disorder or, you know, whether help myself get through my life by helping others help out with their problems. So, you know, I've learned tons of stuff from different nonprofits and different organizations.
Oh, well, that's incredible. I know you are coming up to the end of this walk. What are your plans afterwards?
Well, definitely probably going to move back to Houston. I have a very good fan base and support base and just a lot of good support from that area. But my goal is to never stop. I'm never going to stop advocating for PTSD awareness. I am never going to stop until that number of 22 is zero. Now, people have told me, like, okay, Ryan, that's kind of unrealistic. Okay, it was unrealistic for me to do a 5,000-mile walk across the country. It was unrealistic for me to quit both of my jobs in my field of study and do this walk. But I did it because I felt compelled and I felt like it needed to be done. So, you know, that's just part of that whole thing of, you know, doing more than just what you say, like literally standing up and fighting for what you believe in, is the message that I've tried to relay on this message or this walk. But I'm never going to stop advocating for PTSD. You know, go back to Houston, try to start a nonprofit that deals with what I like to call a pay it forward method. So basically you take in like 10 PTSD sufferers from all different groups, military, non-military. You put them through a program. When they complete that program, then they coach the next group of PTSD sufferers through the program. So instead of some doctor, which are greatly needed, but that only know the clinical side and the studying side of PTSD, instead of someone like that trying to help you through your problems, you've got someone that's been there, done it. They've suffered, they've struggled, and they've come out on top, and now they're the ones guiding that individual and being a role model and an inspiration for that person to be like they are now. So that's one of the nonprofits that I'm considering doing, and, you know, really just try to get that number from 22 down to zero. That's going to be my main goal when this is over. And I'm, you know, to my last dying breath on this earth, I will never stop advocating for PTSD.
That's amazing. It would be crazy of you to have done all this, you know, and then stop. Clearly there's a desire in there, but at the same time, it would be crazy for anyone else to ask you to do more because, you know, you've done so much already just by taking that stand and doing this walk.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, I've done more than most, but I'm still haven't done enough. You know, I'm one of those that there's always more. I could always do more. I could always be more for someone else or do more for someone else. You know, that's my mentality. That's the way it always will be. But you know, that's just me.
Yeah.
I like doing as much as I can for other people, you know, cause I want people to feel as happy as I am with life. You know,
yeah.
I want people to fill their heart with love and understand that, man, it makes life so much easier when you're not stressing out and you're not, you know, upset all the time and you just kind of let things just let it go, you know?
Exactly. So. I completely understand where you're coming from on that and, you know, just wanting others to achieve the level of contentness
happiness.
And happiness that you've had. I guess just to sum up, if you could just like give like a clear, concise message to anyone that might be suffering from PTSD, just whether it be advice or nice words,
well,
whatever.
Yeah, well, first, I mean, number one, look, you know, if you're dealing with PTSD right now in your life, understand your life matters. Look at me. Your life matters. Don't ever think that your life does not matter and that you're not loved. Trust me, you are loved by someone. If not someone you know or someone close to you, yeah, I love you. know that your life matters, and stay strong. Yes, you're going to have days, they're going to be bad. Some days you just want to look and you just want to, just scream. But it's keep a good social network around, keep a good support system around. If you don't have a dog or an animal, definitely recommend getting one. They are wonderful. They help you because they don't talk back and they've got no judgment. They're always going to look at you with love and affection. So, definitely maybe do that. But definitely, don't think that you're alone. You're never alone. There's always someone out there, the exact same thing you are, and I promise you, they've struggled and they've come out on top. Definitely don't do a long-term solution to a short-term problem. Everything can be fixed. Sometimes takes a little time and a little love and a little patience. Things don't happen overnight, but that's what I'm hoping to accomplish with this, is to help people and let them know and let you know that your life matters, and stand for what you believe. Even if you don't suffer from PTSD, but you maybe don't, you don't know anybody that suffers, but you feel compassion to do something, or the urge to want to do something about it. Stand for what you believe, and don't let anyone tell you that you can't. I got a lot of resistance in the beginning of this journey from people I loved, but I chose, not to listen to them and say, hey, I needed to do this, I'm going to do this, and boom, I did it. And now they're my biggest fans, my biggest supporters, and that's really where it's at. So stand for what you believe, know that your life matters, and you rock.
Amazing. That's, yeah, best words, I think.
Awesome.
Ryan has now completed his walk and is working on recording his journey. For more information on his journey, you can visit his Facebook page, 5,000 Miles Discovering America's Heroes. The links to this and other PTSD resources are available on www.birst.co.uk/sharing-space, along with other resources, including Time to Change's mission of ending mental health stigma. Thanks again for taking part in the Sharing Space initiative, and to our guest Ryan Walden for sharing his message. Again, to be a part of the conversation, use this as a segue to talk to someone else, be it a friend, family member, or coworker, about mental health, because the more we talk about it, the closer we are to ending the stigma around it. The story was produced and presented by me, Allison Blaze. The music was composed by Michael L. Worrall. This has been a burst.co.uk production. The conversation was pre-recorded.